topic that we're going to look at is the topic of what we call priorities in Jewish living. And our series this semester is Masechet Brachot, Perek Shishi, the sixth perek. We're picking different sugyot or different subtopics that are relevant and interesting to look at as standalone kind of topics. So this is near the beginning of the perek, and the discussion is a discussion about how to understand the competing values of Talmud Torah, studying Torah, and going to work. So the Gemara begins with a little bit of an agadic statement. It's Brachot Lamed Hamud Bet, and starts in the highlighted section, about eight lines down. Starts with Rabbi Chanina Bar Papa, Rami. He brings two psukim that seem to contradict each other. First pasuk says, V'lakachti digani be'ito. Hashem is going to collect his grain in its time. Uchti v'asafta diganecha. And you will, the people, will collect their grain. So who's going to collect the grain? Is Hashem going to collect the grain? This is a side point that introduces us to the topic. So lo kasha, no problem between the two psukim. Kam esmen sheYisrael sin ritzono shel makom. Kam esmen shein Yisrael sin ritzono shel makom. In other words, when we are fulfilling the ratzon Hashem, then we will be able to collect our own. We'll have our own sustenance. We'll collect our own grain. When we don't follow the ratzon Hashem, that was the first pasuk where Hashem is going to take everything away from us. So on the heels of that agadic statement, v'asafta diganecha, the Gemara brings a braita, Tanu Rabbanan, and this gets into the topic that I want to look at. So the Torah says, v'asafta diganecha, you're going to collect your grain. Matomu lomar, what is the meaning of this phrase in light of the fact that we have a pasuk actually from Sefer Yoshua, Fishan Amar, lo yamush Sefer HaTorah zemipicha, the Torah should never move or be removed from your mouth. Sounds like, if you're translating literally, it sounds like the Torah, Navi, is advocating an approach of the only thing you should be doing with your time or your free time is study of Torah. And how can that jive, let's say, with the statement that we say in Shema, v'asavta diganecha, Yachol dvarim kichtavan, should we understand this literally? Would we understand this literally? Talmud lamar, we could not understand this literally because we have the competing pasuk or value of asafta deganecha. So comes Rabbi Yishmael, in this case, he's going to be the first authority to try to resolve this contradiction. And he comes out and he says, clearly, since we have already a precedent of asafta deganecha, it can't be that lo yamush was meant to be understood literally. It was meant to be understood, perhaps as a, you know, call it advice or encouragement or inspiration. Torah is something that you should definitely be doing. But v'asav d'gnecha, which means hanheg bahen minhag derech eretz, which Rashi interprets to mean go out and get a job. And where does Torah fit in? Torah fits in whenever it can fit in, right? The idea being that minhag derech eretz means going ahead and getting some kind of professional activity, and when you have a time, you'll study Torah. That's Rabbi Yishmael, Divrei Rabbi Yishmael. Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai comes along. And he says, "Efshar Adam Choresh B'Shad Choreshav Vazorei B'Shad Tziriyav Katzer B'Shad Tzira." We're in the third line in the wide lines. So we just went through Rabbi Yishmael's opinion, who says that although we have one value of Lo Yamush Sefer HaTorah Zemipicha, Torah should never leave your mouth. At the same time, we have the competing value of Asavta Deganecha, to go out and work. Rabbi Yishmael took that to mean that Lo Yamush wasn't literal. Lo Yamush, when it says Torah should never leave your mouth, not it should never leave your mouth, but you have to go and work, and you'll learn when you can, or learn, and we'll see later what kind of parameters there might be, minimum, that a person's supposed to learn every day. Shimon ben Yochai Omer, when are you ever going to have time for Torah if you're basically working all the time? In other words, he reads Lo Yamush Sefer Torah Zemipicha literally. That's exactly what we're meant to be doing. We're supposed to be studying Torah all day and all night. Okay, if you have to go to sleep, you'll go to sleep. If you have to go to the bathroom, go to the bathroom. But basically, every other waking moment of your day and your life should be spent in study of Torah. So you're going to be plowing the field, you're going to be planting the field, Zorei B'Shat, Zorei Kotzi, you're going to be harvesting Dash, you're going to be threshing Shati Shah. These are all different seasons, right? All these different agricultural experiences take place at different points in the year. Zorei B'Shat, Aruach, Torah, Matehela, what's going to happen to the Torah? If you're always working, when are you going to study? Comes Rav Shimon Baruch Chai, and he says, therefore, V'asafta deganecha cannot mean you have to go out and get a job. It must mean something else. V'asafta deganecha means your grain is going to be collected. You will have some kind of income coming to you. You will have food coming to you. But it doesn't necessarily mean that it has to be you who's accomplishing this feat. Therefore, where is the food going to come from? Bizman she saw sin ritzono shemakom, using kind of the same terminology that the Gemara started with, when we're following the Ratzon Hashem, and here Rabbi Shimon Baruch Chai is defining Ratzon Hashem as full-time Torah study, then your food will come from elsewhere. Somebody else will provide for you, okay? Your parnasa will come from elsewhere. We'll also hopefully come back to that question a little bit later. Malach Tanasi to Dechem, Shinamar, Ramdu Zarim, and he brings a pasuk which proves this idea. Ramdu Zarim, Verutzonachem, Uvizman Shein Yisrael, Sin Rutzonachemakom, Malach Tanasi to Yedeatzman. And when you're not doing the Ratzon Hashem, you'll have to go out and work like Nebuch. You'll have to go out and get a job, and that's what it meant when it said Vesafta Dekanech, which means it's Bidyeved, right? It's after the fact. It's second best to the ideal lifestyle. Not only this, but you'll have to do everybody else's work for them also. So for a reference to non-Jewish nations, who it's a reference to, that's the idea behind the law. You'll have to worship your enemy or serve your enemy. And then the concluding line, which is how do we paskin the halacha? So whose opinion do we follow? So not that this was prescribed as in the language that we usually have for psak halacha. We'll come back to that as well. Abaye, Amar Abaye, three lines before the two dots there. Harbe asu k'Rabbi Yishmael. Many practiced the approach of Rabbi Yishmael, i.e., going out and getting a job, and also having some Torah, mixed in there somewhere. Vel Tabiyadan, and they were successful, and this was a successful life for them. K'Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, the law Tabiyadan, and then there was a group of people who did like Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, and they were not successful. So the diuk that many make is the opening line is many did like Rabbi Yishmael, which means majority of society followed the first approach and they were successful. And then it doesn't say many tried to do like Shimon Chai, it just says some, which says people did like Rabbi Shimon Chai and they weren't successful, which means even the minority that tried to live a life just of Torah were not able to actually sustain that type of lifestyle. And then practically, you have a story at the end of the Gemara. Amarli Rav L'Rabbanim, Atutmi Naichu B'Yom Nisim Yom Tishrei. This is probably where the Ben Hazmanim came from for the yeshivas in the month of Nisan and the month of Tishrei, which is basically Sukkot and Pesach. Those are the two kind of big vacations. And Rava said to his students, you're going to have to provide at some point. You're going to have to work your fields at some point. So those will be the months that you're off from yeshiva. Lo titzchazikim, I don't want to see you, basically. He says, don't come to yeshiva. Otherwise, you're just going to be working on your parnasa the whole year. So this way, you have two full months. I don't know if that suffices, but those are the big agricultural months. You work in those months, and then you'll be able to... you'll be able to kind of function from there. Okay, so we have a little bit of a frame of these two approaches. The problem is, there's another Gemara, turn the page, Masechet Menachot, which seems to fly in the face of what we just built up. So the Gemara is discussing, specifically the discussion is about the Lechem HaPanim, Shtei HaLechem, which was a fixture in the Beit HaMikdash, and was changed from time to time. There's a bit of debate exactly how it went on. That's the Mishnah here in the middle of the page. And the Gemara has a discussion about how exactly this whole process went. And it starts here in the bottom of, this is Menachot Tzadik Ted Amud Bet. And at first it quotes Rabbi Yossi. This is also the same discussion that is had regarding the lighting of the menorah and the Beit HaMikdash, how often, when, etc. So this is a preamble to the discussion about what is the minimum amount of Torah a person is supposed to learn every day. So if you jump to the end of the skinnier lines, at the end of that page, you see where it says, Amar of Ami Midvarav Sherab Yossi Nilmod, Afilu Lo Shana Adam Ela Perak Echad Shachridu Perak Echad Arvi Kiyem Mitzvat Lo Yamush Sefer HaTorah Zamipicha. So this, based on Rabbi Yossi, who says that they would replace the bread once in the morning and once in the evening, we can learn that that would be the minimum fulfillment. He's comparing that somehow to the minimum amount of Torah that a person is meant to be learning each day, once in the morning, once in the evening. That fulfills a person. It doesn't mean you can do more. Of course you could do more, but to make sure that you had a minimum fulfillment of Talmud Torah every day, that would be the minimum fulfillment. And then the Gemara quotes the rabbi from our Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. Very interesting. Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, remember, was the one who just advocated for, whatever you want to call it, don't go out and get a job. You should be learning all day. And now here he says, Afilu lo kara adam ela kriyat shema. He kind of takes it even one step further, just saying kriyat shema once in the morning, echad shachri, shachri v'arvi, kiyem lo yamush. You want to know what it means, don't take the Torah out of your mouth, once in the morning, once in the evening, which we're doing anyway. You're saying kriyat shema in the morning, saying kriyat shema in the evening, that's it, you're done. That's considered, the fact that that's considered Talmud Torah is an interesting concept in and of itself. I'll take comments and questions in a second. But he's giving us this kind of minimalistic accomplishment of Talmud Torah. Once in the morning, once in the evening, Shema Yisrael Shem Hashem Echad, Shema Yisrael Shem Hashem Echad, I'm done. I fulfilled my minimum Talmud Torah, which seems to really be completely opposite of what he just advocated in the Gemara Masechet Brachot. And then even more fascinating, and then we'll pause, Rabbi Yishmael, if you keep going, Davar Zeh Asur LeOmro, Bifnei Amei Arts, you shouldn't go and promote this. You shouldn't go around and tell people, like, you know, this is all you have to do, right, for a Jew to fulfill the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. He wasn't saying we're encouraging this, but we should all understand what our basic fulfillment is. The Rav Amar Mitzvah L'Omer Bifnei Amei Arts, Rav felt it is something we should go around and tell people. So that's a side kind of comment. And then we have a story. So this is a fascinating story, and it brings us to Rabbi Shmuel's opinion. Shal Ben Dama Ben Achotosh Sharishon. So Ben Dama was the nephew of Rabbi Shmuel, the same Rabbi Shmuel that we just heard that you're supposed to go get a job in Masechet Brachot. Shal Rishon, and Rishon, he asked him, Kagon Ani, he says, like me, Shalamadati Kola Torah Kula, I've learned the entire Torah, Mahu Lilmat Chochmat Yevanit. He wanted to go out and study Greek knowledge, Greek wisdom, which I think Rashi says is a reference to... Yeah, listen, exactly what we're here on campus over here. I think he defines it more specifically. I'm just trying to find it. See it here. Okay, I don't see it here on this page, but it could be philosophy. Okay, it could be Greek wisdom in general, maybe study of the universe, something like that, science. So he says, now I can go, I've studied the whole Torah, I'm done, I'm finished, let me move on to other topics, right? So Kara Lav HaMikra Zeh, so Rabbi Shmuel responded, he said, no, he says, Lo Yamusha Sefer Torah Zeh Mipicha, never, you can never let the Torah leave your mouth. So he says, Mipicha, Higita Bo Yom HaVala, that's how the Pasuk ends, right? You should study it day and night. So Tzei Uvdok, tongue in cheek, he says, go out and check. He says, Sha She'ena Lo Min HaYom V'Lo Min HaLayla, go find a time when it's not day or night, you know, V'Limu B'Chochma Yevani, which is never... Right, so go out and find a time of the day, which is not day or night, and then you can study Greek wisdom. So he's basically saying to him, Torah never ends. You finish Torah Kol Torah Kula, Hadron Alach, we're going to start again. Right? Start again. So if we're going to start again, which means there's never going to be a time. So I don't understand Rabbi Shmuel just a minute ago said, we don't take this literally. Lo Yamush Sefer Torah Zeh Mipicha wasn't meant to be said literally because you have to go out and get a parnasa. We'll see Rashi in a minute, how Rashi understands this idea. Let's try to break this down a bit. Comments, questions before we go into the commentary.
Just a question about the Lo Yamish. So yeah. I guess I know we've interpreted it as being about Talmud Torah, but like, I guess when you look at it in the context of Yoshua, maybe this is the problem. Like, it seems to be about halakha itself, like following halakha, and not about learning. Like, when did the interpretation of it being learning come about? Maybe I'm not supposed to look at the pasuk context, but it's just interesting that that's the jump that it makes.
Yeah.
Because that's much easier to say that you should be living a life.
Fair enough.
Of Torah all day, all night.
I hear the question.
Yeah.
It's an interesting question. Maybe they're also grappling with that in and of itself.
Right.
Was it meant to be taken literally?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that could be kind of the core, one of the core questions here. But that's a good way to formulate it. So let's look at some of the ideas here. So we turn the page. Now I have a series of sources that I want to go into to analyze this a little bit. We're going to go kind of organizationally. We're going to start with Rabbi Yishmael's opinion, then we'll move to Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, and then we'll talk a little bit about the halachic kind of conclusion of this topic. So starting with Rabbi Yishmael, what is the nature of Asafta Deganecha? In other words, it seems not to work to say that it simply means learn when you can, but there's no what we'll call like an Isur Bitul Torah, like a prohibition of wasting time in light of what we just saw, Menachot. So the Gemara Menachot, if you're taking Rabbi Yishmael, he seemed to say there's never really a time when you're not, when you should be doing anything else. You should be learning constantly. But in Brachot, he seems to be advocating there isn't really anything wrong with going out and getting a Parnasa because the Torah says Vasafta Deganecha. Right, so you have to figure out how those two things could work together. So how do we resolve this? So there's a few approaches. So approach number one, which is more of a, when you have two Gemaras that seem to contradict each other, would be to say that one of them is true, one of them is not true. Right, one of them rejects the other one, or one of them was written later, and that's the true one. You know, different kinds of formulations like this. So that would be kind of one approach, which is saying that the Gemara Menachot is rejecting, Rabbi Shmuel and Menachot is rejecting what he said in Brachot. That would be kind of a call like an easy way out.
How do they know which one's like the older one?
That's a good question. How they figure that out? I'm not sure, but that doesn't seem to be a very strong way to resolve this question. So let's look at two or three other approaches. So versus Rashi. Rashi on this Gemara itself, the Gemara in Brachot. So Rashi writes, Minhag Derech Eretz, and he says, Shim Tavo, the source number one, Shim Tavo li de Tzorah Chabriot, Sovcha li batel mi divrei Torah. Which means that if you are constantly learning and you end up not having any money to pay for your dinner, your lunch, or whatever, then you're going to end up becoming needy, relying on other people, and then mimela, automatically, you won't be learning Torah anyway because you're going to be going door-to-door begging for food. So this seems to be an obvious point. In other words, why does Rashi bother telling us why the person goes to work? We all know why people go to work. We go to work because we need the food. We need the money to be able to survive. So seemingly, we could suggest that Rashi was bothered by our question. In other words, when you look at a mitzvah, you have to have a long-term strategy, right? Torah says, "Vishinantam avanecha." We're supposed to study Torah. Okay, so mitzvah Talmud Torah, which, okay, what are the parameters? So lo yamush sefer Torah zemipicha. That seems to be one kind of value. Torah is like all or nothing, but an all-day type of pursuit, an all-week, all-year type of pursuit. So the goal is lo yamush, let's say that's the ultimate goal, but you have to be realistic, right? We have to have some kind of long-term strategy. So we end up, otherwise you're going to end up learning nothing. That's kind of Rashi's point. So vasafta diganecha, you could call it a fulfillment of lo yamush. It's the way we fulfill lo yamush, is through going to work, which doesn't necessarily shed a positive light on working. It's kind of like nebuch, you have to go to work so that you don't end up not learning any Torah. You know, Torah is something that we value the most. Lo yavush, I think the hierarchies of Talmud Torah. And then in order to prop up your Talmud Torah, you have to go out and get a job. So that would be one way to resolve. Rabbi Yishmael is not saying that you never go out and get a job. Rabbi Yishmael is saying that Talmud Torah is primary. Lo yavush was meant to be taken pretty much literally, but you can't just do lo yavush because then you won't end up having any learning Torah at all. So that's approach number one, or approach number two. But maybe we can say something even more simply, which is based on a kind of a bigger concept than halakha. I brought it here in source number two. And that's the concept of when you're involved in one mitzvah and another mitzvah comes your way, stopping to do what you're currently involved in to fulfill the other mitzvah. So this is a principle I brought. I just brought the Shulchan Aruch version of this formulation. It's brought in the Gemara. And it's the source number two. Talmud Torah shakul keneged kol mitzvah. This is in Yor Adea. Talmud Torah is equal to all the mitzvah. Mitzvah. So you have two clashing experiences that are in front of you. One is study of Torah and the other is a mitzvah. So let's call it, hearing shofar, right? Or tefillah, or chesed, or something like that. Kibud av v'em is another, a little bit more of a sticky question, but generally, we'll say, that's a mitzvah that stands in front of you, and you have this other mitzvah that you're involved in. Im efshar le'mitzvah le'asor yadei acherim, if the mitzvah could be accomplished by other people, lo yafsik talmudo. So, a class example would be like a levaya, right? Somebody else could go and be involved with the body to get it buried, then, and you're in the middle of your Torah study. Technically, we're not saying what you necessarily would do practically, but technically you would not have to stop. You would not be obligated to stop your learning to go get involved in that, as long as you know that somebody else could take care of it. V'im lav, yaseh mitzvah v'yachzor l'torato. But if it's not a mitzvah that can be done by other people, or, you know, it's a different category, but it's a mitzvah that you must do yourself, right? Like hearing shofar. So lo yamush is true, but what about, like I said, shofar tefillah? So I need to do these myself. That's a mitzvah, and this is a mitzvah. So I can close my gemara, I can close my chumash, and I can go do v'asafta deganecha. This takes work into the light of something that's more, we can call it, equal playing field as Talmud Torah. Talmud Torah is going to be shakul kol mitzvah, like Shulchan Aruch said, but it takes it into the realm of more of a mitzvah type of activity, going out and working and providing v'asafta deganecha. Is osik b'mitzvah patur min mitzvah? You don't say that. You're in the middle of a mitzvah and you have something else that you need to be involved in. That's, it's called work. That's something that we would advocate as taking us back to our discussion. Rabbi Yishmael in the Gemara said lo yamush means, you know, there's never a time of day that you should be doing anything else unless you have something that is also a mitzvah that you're supposed to be doing. Let's call it going to work. So it's kind of comes out two very different perspectives on how we view but this idea of asafta deganecha. Either we look at it as, I would call b'dieved, but too bad you have to go to work. You could be learning Torah, but you have to go do this. Otherwise, you're going to end up not being able to learn at all, which is kind of looking at work as, you know, less desirable type of option versus seeing it as a mitzvah, seeing it as something that you should be doing, you should actively be seeking to be doing as a lifestyle choice, and that seems to be another way to resolve this issue. So how do we understand Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai? So let's just shift gears for a second, talk about Shimon ben Yochai. So we spoke a little bit about Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai seems to also have these two kind of opposite presentations, okay? In Masech HaBrachot, he has this presentation of you shouldn't be doing anything else, and other people are going to do your work if you're studying Torah all day and you don't have to worry. And Masech HaMenachot, he seems to say, minimally all you have to do is study a little bit in the morning, a little bit at night, and you're good. So just one side point on this is that Lo yamush of the morning and night is only a minimum requirement, as we said. And you can't just forget about the rest. If you look, I just brought it here in source number 3 and number 4. The Ran points this out, and Or Sameach writes about this as well in his commentary on the Rambam. So the Ran writes in source number 4, for example, Mistabrali, and this is in Nedarim, where the Gemara repeats this concept of the Kriyat Shema in the morning and night is repeated over there in Masech and Nedarim, and he writes like this, Mistabrali, the Lav Dafka, Devahachi Miptar, here you're just basically saying, what's your minimum way of being exempted from the mitzvah of Talmud Torah? Shrei Chayav Kol Adam Lilmo Torah Yom V'Layla. We know, as much as you can, Gefi Kochov, Amrinim B'Pera Kamen T'Kidushin, Tanur Banim Shinan, Shu Divrei Torah Mechudah L'Mificha. So he might be referencing here an idea of Yediyata Torah. It's not enough to just learn Torah morning and night. There's a value of knowing Torah, of amassing in your mind, in your being, the entirety of Kol Torah Kula. Shim Yishalcha Adam Davar, Shalo Tigam Gein. That's also a value. You could be able to, somebody asks you a question in Torah, you could be able to talk about it, because you've learned it, you've studied it. So if we were to just go with the route of, all right, I'm good, I did my morning line, and I did my evening line, and I'm done, when is a person ever going to get to that point of amassing Torah in their life? Kriyat Shema Shachar V'Arvi Lo Sagi L'Hachi. Another way to kind of formulate it, or Sumeach writes about this, is it's possible, and we'll come back to this point, that it's not for everybody to have this lifestyle of all day of Torah study, but that doesn't mean that there isn't a value of pushing yourself to the limit of what you're able to do in terms of Torah study. So that's kind of a side point. It's important that Shimon ben Yochai wasn't necessarily saying it as, this is what I'm advocating for you to do. And the Gemara even said, don't go around telling this to people, right? So what are some of the ways that we could resolve this this kind of discrepancy or contrast or contradiction between Rav Shimon ben Yochai Masecha Bracha and Rav Shimon ben Yochai Masecha Menachot? So the first approach, almost like similar to our first approach of Rabbi Shmuel, is they're two different Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai's. It's a different, kind of a different way of saying it, but they're two different Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai's. Not Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai's, two different Rabbi Shimon's. The Rabbi Shimon in Masecha Brachot is the Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, the one that we know, the one from the cave, who we'll mention in a minute. And the second one, in Masecha Menachot, who said you only have to learn morning and night, that wasn't Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai at all. He never would have said that, or at least it's a mistake in the text. So first approach is, and that's actually suggested by the Rabbi Kiva Eger on the Gemara itself, source number 5. He quotes the Shach, who's a commentary on the Shulchan Aruch and Yerodea, Simon Reishim Avav. So that's source number 5. Sif Katan Aleph, Ita Mishum Rabbi Shimon Ben Yehot Sadak. So totally different Tana, totally different person. So the first approach is they're two totally different Rabbi Shimons. Different statements, they're not contradictory because they're not the same person. Simple way out of it, right? Let's try to do something that's a little bit more working with the possibility these are the same person. Is there another way to think about this? So another way to think about it, which is also kind of a stylistic tool in Gemara, which is to say that Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai actually went back on his opinion in one of the cases. And how do we know that he went back on one of them? Because we have a story about Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai in the cave. I brought the end of the Gemara here in source number 6, Masechet Shabbat, Lamed Gimel Lamed Bet. Nafku Chazu Inches, when they came out of the cave, what did they see? They saw all these people, 12 years in the cave with his son, right? So the Karvi Vizari, they were plowing and they were seeding or planting, and they said, Amar Manichin Chaye Olam of the Oskim B'Chaye Shah. They're leaving aside, mundane practice. The other way. Chai Olam, Olam Abba, right? Spiritual or Olam Abba oriented practice. V'oskim b'chayshon. They're getting involved in mundane things. Kol makom shenonim enehem miyad nisraf. And anywhere they put their eyes, that was getting destroyed or burned. Yes, the bakol. A voice came out. Amar lehem la'achiv olami yatzatem chizul l'marachem hadav azul. So the voice came out and said, "You're destroying my world. That's why I let you get out of the cave. Go back in the cave and figure out how to, be part of society, even if you don't agree with everything everybody's doing," which is just an interesting commentary because it kind of tells us two things. It tells us on the one hand that this seemed to have been Rabbi Shimon's approach, which could mean that he, whatever he had said about once in the morning, once in the evening, maybe he went back on that. That's one possible way of looking at it. That's suggested by some achronim. I didn't bring them here. And the second thing I think that comes out of this Gemara is, like the Gemara Brachot said, this lifestyle is clearly not for everybody. And even Hashem, or the Bakol, whatever, was agreeing with the fact that this is society, and you are part of society, but also a part of society, different than society. And if you want to do your thing, that's okay, but don't try to convince everybody else that that's what they have to be doing, because it's not going to work. Maybe that's some futuristic ideal or something like that, but right at that moment in time, wasn't practical. So go back in the cave and figure that out. But go back in the cave means stick to your philosophy, your perspective, which seems to be more like the Brachot presentation. Third approach is that the two sugyot are not related at all. So if you look in the Tosfot HaRosh writes here in source 7 on our Gemara, Lav Mishum Desavar Rav Shimon Shehu Chova. Rav Shimon wasn't coming to tell us that this is an obligation, right? He's not coming to tell us that you must do this. So that's very nice. In other words, the two Gemaras don't have to argue with each other. They can compliment one another. In other words, Rabbi Shimon was saying, you have the value of full time Torah study, and that's a lifestyle, and that's a way of being. And in other words, it's kind of like, what kind of Jew do you want to be? That's kind of the Masechet Brachot question, and it's not a right or wrong. It's do you want to take a more Rabbi Shmuel approach, which is very legitimate and very kind of common, or do you want to be the Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai? Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai is advocating his position. He's saying that's the ideal life of a Jew. If you want to know how to minimally fulfill Talmud Torah, so you can go look at Masechet Menachot. I talk about that over there. But if you want to understand what it means to live a Torah life, obviously it doesn't mean that you can do that just by minimally. So these two Gemaras are not, he's not saying everybody must do this. He's telling you what he believes is the Lecharchila, right? Which I think is an interesting kind of way to think about Jewish living. It's like these two perspectives seem to be very much what we encounter in our Orthodox kind of lifestyle, or at least some on the extremes, and then everybody else falls somewhere in the middle.
Where did Rabbi Shmuel play
to? So I think Rabbi Shmuel.
It just switched. Like, isn't that the issue that Rabbi Shmuel seems to be the more mekil one in Brachot,
right?
And then becomes more machmir in Menachot, and then it's vice versa.
Yeah.
So we're just assuming that. Like, is there a consistency to that, or not really?
So I think that. This approach of the Tosfot Rosh is saying that they're not. The Gemaras aren't. The Gemaras weren't meant to be read against each other, right? They're meant to be read. But yeah, the way you're reading it would be, But it's another way to look at it for sure. So let's talk a little bit about. I don't call it halacha l'maaseh, and it is halacha l'maaseh because it's brought down in the Shulchan Aruch. Who do we follow? Whose opinion do we follow? So Shulchan Aruch writes, context is interesting also. It's in Tzchelek Or Chaim, and it's right after basically all the halachot that deal with tefillah and Beit Knesset, and then the very next halacha, which is now that you're finished your tefillah in the morning, what's the next thing you do? If Or Chaim is like the daily living halachot, so it's everything you do from the minute you wake up, and then Sukkot Zimra, or whatever, Tzitzit Tefillin, if you just go in order of what Shulchan Aruch lists, and then you get into Kriyat Shema, and Tefillah, and Birkat Kohanim, and Tachanun, and Aleinu, and then Simen Kuf Nun Vav, Achar kach, and like the way it's even started, I have it in English. After this, he should go to his work, because any Torah that does not have work, quoting, paraphrasing Pirkei Avot here, the whole Torah she'ini mamalacha, sofa betelev gorerat avon. So the Shulchan Aruch seems to be siding with the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel. Ki ha'oni yavirena al da'akono, mikom akom lo yasem alavto yikar, ela arai, v'torato keva v'zev v'zeh yikayem b'yadam. Okay, which means, okay, Torah should still play a central role, but you're going to, lemaaseh, you're going to go out to work. And like the Mishnah Pirkei Avot says, yafeh Talmud Torah im derech eretz. That's the paraphrase. So let's look at this for a couple of minutes. So there's the Bir Halacha, commentary on the Mishnah Berurah, who is the Mishnah Berurah, but he's commentary on the Shulchan Aruch as well. Kind of an expanded or more analytical version of the Mishnah Berurah. And what he does is he basically says, it would appear like we're going with Rabbi Shmuel. Kadvu asfarim shezeu nemar leklal ha'olam. Okay, everybody looks at this as this was said for general Jewish society. She'in kulam yucholim lezakot lizchut lalot lemadrega ramazo liot oskam rak batorah. Most people, like the Gemara even said, like Abai said at the end, most people follow Rabbi Shmuel. Most people can't get to that kind of level. You will find people, Torata Umnuto, which is interesting that they use that phrase in Israel for the exemption from the army. That title, Torata Umnuto, that the Torah is your profession. That's how which is interesting because if the Gemara said that, not to get political, but if the Gemara said that very few people did it and were successful, it sounds like this kind of lifestyle is almost impossible to find. It's going to be a very, very, very slim minority of Jewish population, Jewish world, that are actually able to uphold such a lifestyle. Again, this is all assuming that we figure out a way for them to get parnasa from somewhere, which we'll have to address in a moment. And then he writes, "Hakadosh Baruch Hu v'adai yamtzi lehem parnasatam." Now he brings it. Hashem is going to find them parnasa. You know, and this is based on the Rambam. We're going to read the Rambam in a minute. The Rambam source number 10. Hilchot Shemitim v'Yovel v'lo shevet Levi b'vad. Okay, we'll see it. We're running for nimtzu anashim shorotzim laspik lo tzorchav kedei shasur b'torah b'vaday lo shayach zavi yisachar v'zvon yuchech. Okay, so that's, this idea is based on the Rambam of the fact that there's going to be certain individuals heading out. Good to see you. That there's going to be certain individuals who are able to hold up one standard and other people hold up a different standard. In other words, what's the, if you go to a rabbi and say, should I work or should I learn Torah full time? The answer is it depends on what kind of person you are. In other words, the psak halacha is not a, it's not a clearly defined psak halacha. It's more of a, and that's kind of strange. You know, based on the Tosfot Rosh, there's no obligation to follow the approach of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. So if you look in the Rambam, he brings this out. And this Ram Hilchot Shemitah, at the end, the last halacha, he kind of gets more musar oriented than halacha oriented, but he brings this idea that that the Levim, Shevet Levi, what were they doing if they weren't working in their job, which was only for a short amount of time of the year? They were studying Torah, right? They were studying Torah all day, or they were involved in Talmud Torah on some level. So the idea is that this is something that's a value, but it isn't necessarily something that's for everybody. And then he writes, there could be, could have such a thing. Kol ish v'ish mikol bayolam asher nevarucho tovevinu madol libadel lamol lifnei Hashem asher tol ofdol l'teyad Hashem. This is shame on it, I just realized. Valach yashar kamo she'asau Elohim uparak me'al tzavro ol chashmanot v'arabim. In other words, you don't have to be from Shevet Levi to do the lifestyle of Shevet Levi. You could do this. What the Rambam doesn't necessarily spell out is where the Parnas is going to come from. Okay, God will be his portion and will be provided for. So that part is less kind of defined, but you know, this idea is that the Rambam seems to be giving a stamp on the fact that there could be this this approach of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. I'll just mention one or two last comments, which are this kind of split of another place where this seems to be borne out is the Mishnah Masechet Kiddushin. So the Mishnah at the end of Masechet Kiddushin speaks about the obligations like the father will teach the son. And the Mishnah says like this, in source number 11, Meir says, a person should always teach his son a clean and easy profession. At the end of the Mishnah, Rabbi Narai says, I leave aside all professions in the world, I do not teach my son anything other than Torah. So is he arguing in the first part of the Mishnah? Doesn't sound that way, because the Gemara earlier in Kiddushin, if you remember from the end of the, I think it's the end of the first parak, speaks about all the obligations of the Aval Abayin. Swimming, Brit Mila, etc. And the Mishnah lists off everything, but it doesn't say, it doesn't quote Rabbi Narai, who says you don't have to teach them how to work. So it's a very strange kind of formulation. So he doesn't say it's prohibited, he just says I would only teach him Torah. So it sounds more like Hashgafa, like Tosfot Rosh. So that's what Rabbi Narai is saying. He's not arguing, so of course a father should teach his son to work, but not everybody should follow that psak. So this is the Pnei Yeshua in source 12. He kind of spells this out. We'll just read inside. So he says, "Sort lichor near the Rabbi Noorai late lay the Adam Rinan leel beperakama." He obviously doesn't hold of that earlier piece. The Chayv Adam Lame Beno Umnut from Rinanam bePirke Avo Kol Torah Shein Malacha, as we quoted, Derech Eretz Sofa Betela. If you don't have the Derech Eretz in it, it's going to end up going in the bad direction. Al Dalmai de Parish beSamuch Ati Shabbat Lo Palik Devade Midat Kol Adam Lamot Torah Derech Eretz. You do both. Not everybody's going to be able to have somebody else paying their bill to be able to study Torah. He's going to end up going worse. He says, he was saying about himself. He's saying, you want to know what I did with my son? This is how I educated, you know, this is how I educated my son. He saw that his son was very, He was very mutzlach, memulach, amzariz, memulach, v'tamodomi kiemedo. He saw someone as a brilliant scholar, sheitamachacham gamor, v'tzadi gamor, shemalach to yenasi ledeichem. Okay, so that's what he saw. And I'll just say at the end, when the Rambam says, don't worry about how you're going to get the Parnassah, the Radbaz speaks about this as well. But that part seems to come out a little bit hazy because of the question of not using Torah for the wrong reasons. And so this gets a little bit into the question of, we saw many Tanaim who went out and worked, and that's spoken about as well. So these are some of the thoughts on this topic, and I think it's good food for thought for the afternoon.
Yeah, thank you. I'm going to give them to you because of the Shema.
Yeah, thank you.